You're the enemy of God. You savor the things which be of men and not of God. But it would surely show that God is with me if I have a big church with lots of people. I could have multitudes like Christ. Isn't that the measure of Christ-likeness? Of the blessing of God? Lots of people? It could be, I suppose. The thing is, I've never found the truth in those places. Who made you judge, Paul? You think you know everything? I don't. But the few things I do know show me that they don't know anything. I don't have to know everything to know that they know nothing. I would to God that they were all saved and I was accursed. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us, the lusts, the things that people desire after, whether it be office, even like jealousy things in the church. You know, we were talking about teachers last time, you know. You know, instructors, you want to be in it, you know, they lust. They want, I want to be that. Why? I want to be important. Wrong reason. You desire it to consume it on your lust. You don't can't have the desire of the teacher because I want people to respect me. And that's the wrong reason. Why do you want to be a teacher? Why do you want to instruct others? Because if I don't, it's going to burn up inside of me. That's why I teach. If I don't, I'm just going to catch fire and explode. I do it because people say, Paul, teach us. That's why I do it. I don't expect to be admired, honestly. I expect to be instructive and educational. I hope that is accomplished. But I really expect people to, most, are not going to like what I have to say. And they're not going to like me for even saying it. They're gonna, you know, and I get it all the time. So I have this expectation of dishonor. Verse 6. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. I'm sorry, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Some of this stuff is almost like anathema to people. So, weep and mourn? What are you talking about, Paul? I just want to leap and be happy. Well, Jesus was full of the joy of the Lord, but he was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. Paul was a man filled with the rejoicing of the Lord, and he also said, I am filled with continual heaviness and sorrow. The two are not mutually exclusive. You can have joy and still have heaviness. Really. And I see both in the children of God. Because God has both, see? I mean, generally speaking, we're not feeling that. We don't feel that at the same time. But it is sort of, there's a rejoicing and a sorrow at the same time. Like they say, bittersweet. And you can't have bitter and sweet water at the same fountain. We just read that. But sometimes things have mingled flavors. His analogy was meaning as far as being a Christian, we're supposed to be pure. Like he says, purify your hearts. Cleanse your hands. How do you cleanse your hands? The blood of Christ, man. Blood of Christ cleanses your hands. But blood, it washes the blood away. It washes the sins away. He giveth grace, more grace. greater grace. He resists the proud. Wars, fightings, lusts, kill, fight, fight. Proud. Gives grace to the humble. Walk in humbleness. And the thing is, how can you even be humble? If it's not in you, I mean, if you really feel so wonderful about yourself, how are you going to be humble? Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Do it. I challenge you. You who are proud. People say, Paul, you always come off to me as very proud. I don't really care how you look at me. That's what makes me humble. As I don't care. I'm not here to give you some sort of voluntary humility where like you say, wow, he sure talks humble. Yeah, I've talked humble at times because I'm trying to demonstrate things. This thing is the instructor. You take on yourself a greater judgment. God's going to look at everything you do and why you do it, why you say it. I thank God. I have a lot of confidence in this. It's not giving me the spirit of fear, though I am mindful of the fear. Grace, favor. He gives grace to the humble. Now, what does that mean? You've got to be humble to earn the grace of God? No, but what it means is the grace of God is given before the foundation of the world. So, you know, that throws it out right there. You can't earn it. It's got to be, you got to be, you know, on the guest list, so to speak. But he does respond according to his word, meaning he's going to resist our pride and give us more grace in our humility to stop us from sinning, you know? It's just the same thing as like, you know how I be merciful to people? It's to resist the proud and give grace to the humble. That is merciful. Because you can't, if you allow pride to fester, they're going to burn. They're going to burn. They're going to be destroyed. They're going to die. And you will have done nothing to help them. We need to humble ourselves. And he gives us grace. We can't be humble without his grace. And that's why people have said to me, well, Paul, if you ever obtained righteousness, you'd be proud. I was like, no, if you ever obtained righteousness, you'd have to be humble. Because God gives grace to the humble. And also, pride is not righteousness. So you wouldn't have obtained righteousness. You'd just have obtained righteousness plus pride, which is a filthy rag in God's sight. God doesn't like 99% righteous.